This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. The Kentucky General Assembly is in session. The latest poll shows Senator Mitch McConnell trailing Democrat Allison Lundergan Grimes. Representative Tom Massie is facing a fiscally conservative Democrat, and Senator Rand Paul continues to make his presence felt. We'll be discussing Kentucky politics with Nathan Smith, businessman and former chair of the Kentucky Democratic Party, and attorney Steve Meggerly, who's representing the Republican side this afternoon. You can join our conversation. The number is 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, the number 513-419-7100. Later, we talked with Cincinnati Fire Chief Richard Braun yesterday, and you'll hear that interview coming up. But first, we're going to talk about Kentucky politics. Gentlemen, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
As we started out, the Kentucky General Assembly session is underway. And I think from what we were hearing before the session started, there was a lot of thought that this was going to be the year that Kentuckians might get to vote on a constitutional amendment to expand gaming in the state. And as we talk today, that is looking less likely that they're going to get to vote on an expanded gaming constitutional amendment.
Yeah, I kind of see this issue as it's continuing to evolve inside the Democratic Party as well as the Republican Party. But I do think that this is kind of breaking out a little bit different, more the triangle, the Lexington, Louisville, Cincinnati, what we would call the Golden Triangle, versus the rural areas. And it's not, while it does have a DNR component, maybe a little bit, I think it's really breaking out that way in the Senate, more the urban versus the rural legislators, as people would call. And they're saying, I understand that the president of the Senate yesterday or the day before basically said that it's dead. I'm not convinced it's completely dead, but it is definitely a rural versus urban legislator and I think in the Senate it moves more into the DNR, but definitely in the House, I think it would pass the House pretty large because there is a lot more urban legislators in the House than there is in the Senate. And so I think you would pass the House.
So urban lawmakers tend to favor allowing it to go on the ballot, rural lawmakers, not so much.
Well, if you really think about it, in Kentucky, they already have it in most of the urban areas. You know, basically, you have it across the a river in Paducah. You have it across the river in Owensboro. You have it across the river in Louisville. You have it across the river in northern Kentucky. You know, I mean, so it's already there.
Steve?
I would agree with Nathan. I think a lot of the legislators in northern Kentucky would be more willing to vote for a local for the casino gaming than another thing that's been proposed to raise revenue for the state, the local option sales tax. I mean, we already have gaming. I think one of the members of the state Senate yesterday said that the in the Senate it was in the funeral home. It's not dead yet. It hasn't been laid out for viewing yet, but I agree with Nathan that the state Senate districts are a lot bigger. There's a lot more rural areas. I haven't really heard that Senator Thayer, who's chairman of the local government committee, has really championed the issue like he did in previous sessions. And I think it may be dead in the Senate unless something miraculous happens. I definitely agree with Nathan that it would pass the House. I think the devil's in the details is would the amendment be bogged down with a bunch of detail or whether they could just do a straight up, do you support or oppose casino gaming and let the legislature figure it out later. I think that could be a problem in the House, but I think in the Senate in Kentucky is definitely a problem. And again, one of Governor Beshear's big issues may not get passed this legislative session.
And to be clear, this is just to let people vote on it. This isn't saying we're going to do it. This is just to let people say, do you want to do this or not?
Yeah, Jay, one of the things that has probably in Kentucky that is under controversial is Greg Stumbo, the Speaker of the House, has said on several occasions that he believes that because we passed the gaming bill with the lottery, that he actually thinks that there is a situation where it would not have to go into even local option, that basically he believes that, you know, one of the ideas is that the legislature could pass gaming and then let them fight out in court. Now, the Senate is definitely against that because what happens then is the rural Republican legislators just totally just go nuts when you bring that up. So the thought has been to go through and have the local voting option. But, you know, the problem we have in Kentucky now is that the horse industry is really on life support. if you look what they're doing in Ohio, especially if you look across at River Downs, what they're building there. I mean, anybody could know Turfway was the main artery for gaming in horse industry for years, and you know River Downs was kind of like, oh, it's over there, sit over there, little boy. But now, I mean, if you look the opposite, basically I could see where Turfway Park was no longer existed and became another shopping mall within the next 2 years.
The horse racing industry at one point had huge influence in Kentucky. And how did it lose it? I mean, how did it go away?
Well, I think a lot of the horse racing industry, the problem with it is as other states added casino gaming, mm-hmm. their purses became bigger and bigger. At one time, it was basically Kentucky had huge purses. Then the next was New York, then California, then Florida, and it kind of everybody else, if they were in the horse racing business, was kind of like they were lower down the totem pole. But since you know you got a place that's now in New York that basically is running casino gaming, and what's interesting is recently West Virginia has moved up the list,
Pennsylvania, Louisiana,
because they're mm-hmm. using the money from casino gaming to help support
the
horse industry. Yeah, it's very bad for the horse industry in Kentucky because basically what we have turned into is a breeding state. And after we breed the horses, they leave. And some other states have basically taken and said they'll give a higher purse rate or you get a bump if you are a New York or a Pennsylvania or a New Jersey-based horse.
Steve, does the longer this go on, is it less meaningful for Kentucky? You know, Ohio's got casinos now. They've got the racinos that are opening. You've already got gaming in, I think, West Virginia and Indiana. I mean, if Kentucky doesn't do it, this year have to wait maybe one more year or to the next big legislative session. Does it come at a point in time it doesn't matter because it's too late?
Well, constitutional amendments, if they go that route, can only be put on the ballot in even-numbered years.
That's correct.
And so
it would have to wait two
years.
It's
either this year or it's in 2016. And by then, we have Horseshoe here in Cincinnati. You have the boats in Indiana. Indiana Downs is a short drive away. A lot of people are driving up there on an evening to enjoy horse racing. And by then, it's definitely too late. As far as it being an issue, it needs to be taken up by the General Assembly. This has been debated for years and years and years. And hopefully the Republicans in the state Senate will take up the issue and at least put it on the ballot. I mean, you should at least be able to say yes or no on this issue.
Now, Kentucky doesn't have a process in Ohio. It was put on by citizens. Kentucky,
no.
You don't have that option.
No. And you can only put, I believe, two constitutional amendments on the ballot in those even years. So there's a big fight as to what exactly is going to be the premier issue that the voters of Kentucky get to vote on in the General Assembly, from the General Assembly.
So we've got gaming that maybe we would say is on life support. I think you said it's at the funeral home but not out for visitation yet. What about there was also a lot of talk about the Brent Spence Bridge and whether or not the legislature would allow tolling to build the replacement for the Brent Spence Bridge. Is that also Northern Kentucky lawmakers are adamantly opposed to it. Governor Beshear says that's the only way it's going to happen is if it's told. So where does that stand?
I think that it was very interesting that Congressman Massey came out last week and said that I'm not going to be able to get you an earmark to pay for the Brent Spence Bridge, which now it kind of forces the issue with the Northern Kentucky Legislative Caucus to figure out what they're going to do. And Governor Beshear has said, you know, had a private meeting with some of the more influential members of the caucus a week or two ago and basically said, my understanding from what the Inquirer was reporting was that this is, you know, you guys need to figure out what you're going to do for this budget cycle you may be waiting, and this money may not be going into the budget, which will further delay the project.
Well, I think a vote by a Northern Kentucky caucus member on tolling is a death wish. You know, when it's all said and done, the bridge is a federal bridge. It's a federal interstate. And I find it quite interesting that Mitch McConnell and Massey and whoever, they can find an earmark for Paducah. They build bridges to nowhere in Alaska, and suddenly we need a bridge, and you can't even find him nowhere. I mean, it's really quite interesting. And, you know, you've heard that from other legislators. And I think as a is at a state level, I think voting for a toll on a bridge is a death wish.
One of the big things yet to come for the General Assembly will be approving the two-year budget. Governor Beshear laid out his plans just about a month ago. Do we expect fireworks around
the budget? I think
you'll
have a get-by budget. I don't think that there is a big push. I mean, to have a budget change, you would have to have a total redo of this tax structure in Kentucky. And I just don't think that there's the will of the legislators in a year where they have been rather, you know, there's a talk of would the Republicans be a possibility of taking the House in Kentucky. I doubt it very seriously that that's really even close to a possibility. But I don't see the Democrat House running up and being real excited about doing tax reform, which is going to be, you can call it that, but if you're going to have more revenue, it's going to be a tax increase. I have a tough time seeing that Greg Stumbo getting that many of them to vote for that.
Steve, what about the budget?
I think we need to take it before we look at how to change and reform the tax system. I'm sure that in a budget as large as Kentucky, there are places to find more waste, fraud, and abuse to be able to cut so that our children can have school textbooks that actually talk about September 11th. It's my understanding some of the textbooks being used in the schools are that old that the terrorist attacks aren't talked about. And tax reform is sometimes looked at as code word for let's create a new tax, like this local option sales tax to allow local governments to, again, tax families who have been struggling for years and years and years in the Commonwealth.
One of the things, and Nathan mentioned this, you know, that he believes Democrats retain control of the House. Republicans in Kentucky have been talking about the possibility of grabbing the House in this election. Do you see that as realistic, Steve?
I know that the Republican Party in Frankfort is working very diligently to take over the House. That's been a goal of Minority Leader Jeff Hoover and Chairman Steve Robertson. I know that they are putting together the plans to really put forth a conscious effort to take back the Kentucky House. And they're only, what, 5 or 6 seats away from doing it? And they've been, I think they're targeting specific districts and specific legislators. I know a little bit south of us, Tom McKee's going to be definitely on the target for taking on Jamie Comer and the hemp bill that Kentucky's going to benefit from the Republican leadership in the Senate and our congressmen.
Well, I am all for Republicans talking about hemp in Kentucky. I think it's a great issue for them to take up, and I actually think it would be better if they talked about hemp more, because I think that helps Democrats every time they talk about hemp, because in Kentucky with the drug issue you got, I can't just imagine that it, being in rural Kentucky, talking about hemp is a great idea.
Let's pretend that the Republicans do take the House in the fall and they control both the House and the Senate. How would things change, Steve? I mean, what would be the agenda?
I think you would most certainly see workplace freedom legislation finally get off the plate and move forward and get through the House. I think you would also have legalized school choice and charter schools and failing school districts. I think you would have Common Core taken out of implementation in Kentucky. I think you would have more social legislation pass on the abortion issues, just a myriad of legislation that has not been able to get even a hearing on some things in Frankfort.
Nathan, does that sound like a good
world? Sounds like a great agenda for them to be talking about. I love it. I mean,
I am my Tea Party talking point, Nathan.
You absolutely do, Steve, and I appreciate that. And I want you guys to talk more about it because, you know, when they talk about those issues, it makes Democrats look more and more to the center as that party moves further and further to the right.
If that change were to take place, Republican control of the House, I mean, how long has it been since the Republicans have controlled the House?
You know,
the Democrats have been in charge
pre-Civil
for a long time.
War. I mean, I'm not for sure, but I would expect pre-Civil War. And, you know, I don't think that the Republicans are that close to taking the House. I think they had probably a better possibility 15 or 20 days ago than they do now, because I think that they missed some races if they were really serious about it. I think they had to do an all-out assault on certain people. And there was many people that they gave a pass. I mean, they have 2 seats up here that they didn't even run anybody against. So, you know, if
the
they were really...
The only 2 seats they have, you all have.
Well, that's true. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you would have to go... To get to that number, you need a bigger, broader umbrella to do that.
Well, those two districts you're talking about, Nathan, are very highly Democratic on the voter registration. And Arnold Simpson is a respected legislator on both sides of the aisle. And for someone to take on Representative Simpson would not go well for the Republican Party. And the party needs to focus its resources on other places than that, a district like that, where you have a statesman who is against tolls.
Yeah, and you'll probably end up with three or four. They may even actually lose two or three races in Louisville because with the U.S. Senate race being the top of the ticket, McConnell is really doing poor in Louisville.
Well, there is an open seat in Louisville. Sorry.
We're talking Kentucky politics with Nathan Smith and attorney Steve Meggerly. You can join our conversation, 513-419-7100. Let's don't dance around it any longer. You mentioned Mitch McConnell. I'm sure that you had to be happy with a poll that I think came out last week that was sometimes you see partisan polls, but this was a poll conducted by Kentucky News Organizations, and it showed him trailing slightly behind the Democrat Allison Lundgren Grimes.
Well, and I also understood this morning there was a Republican poll that came out that had him 1 point down. That was a Republican polling firm. You know, I think what it comes down to Mitch McConnell is this is his issues. When you were looking at the poll that came out last week with the newspapers, what you find out very quickly is everyone knows who he is. Everyone knows where they stand on him. What you find out about Allison Lundgren Grimes is that her name recognition is much lower, but nobody really knows who she is. And this race is going to come down to, is Mitch McConnell able to villainize her more than people think bad about him? And, you know, and he's obviously got more money than her. But what's been interesting is that the two quarters that she's been in this race, basically she has matched him quarter for quarter. And Mitch McConnell is always going to have more money because, you know, he's a machine there. I mean, he gets what he wants. And so, you know, of course, when he gets what he wants, we never get what we need. So, you know, it seems like there is a lot of time spent with Mitch McConnell that we never win anything. He's more interested in Wyoming than he is in Kentucky.
Steve, balance that out. I'm sure you disagree.
And Allison Lundgren Grimes is more concerned about people in Martha's Vineyard and places like that where she's been raising money. And
he's been there, too.
And taking money from Woody Allen and Representative Arnold and having Bill Clinton come in and fundraise for her. And
we love Bill Clinton in Kentucky, so we'll have him every day. We hope the president comes each day and spends time with us.
You talk about this, though, that people really don't know her. But isn't that what McConnell's going to try? I mean, we interviewed Governor Steve Beshear, and he said running against Mitch McConnell was not a pleasant experience. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that he's going to make it any more pleasant for Grimes.
Oh, I'm sure. Let me say this. I expect that, you know, since we're over in Cincinnati today doing the show, and I had to live through your Sherrod Brown Mandel, it should be the people of Cincinnati get their opportunity in Ohio to live through ours. But what I find interesting and fascinating about Mitch McConnell is he is Darth Vader, and he spends most of his time beating up his opponent to build himself up. But here's the problem. He's been there since 1984. And if you start thinking about it, most of the voters, I am 42, and I couldn't vote in 1984. So by the time we get to Election Day, most of the voters in Kentucky were never even able to vote for him the first time. And so I think he's got a serious problem with coming back and getting connected to the people of Kentucky. But at the same time, when you are president, when you're the minority leader in the Senate, you have a job role there to your own party.
Steve,
you're assuming that Senator McConnell makes it through the primary, because I think that you guys would have a much bigger problem facing Matt Bevin, as the polls are showing, than facing Senator McConnell. And I think that it is fair to say that Senator McConnell is in the race for his political life, and he is bringing out a lot of bad things about Matt Bevin. I think it's that before we say it's going to be Allison versus Mitch, let's talk about Mitch and Matt Bevin.
I'd love to talk about the other people. So sign me up.
You see Bevin as having a realistic chance of winning this primary,
and I think that Matt Bevin has successfully rallied the Tea Party groups, at least in northern Kentucky. There was an event last week, mm-hmm. and there were 400 people that came out to hear Matt Bevin speak, and they were the Tea Party the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party that really are getting behind Matt Bevin. Now, Senator McConnell is spending a lot of time in Western Kentucky, which is, you know, a good, which will benefit him, but we'll see. I mean, the poll numbers are keep changing, and I mean, Senator McConnell does have high negatives even within the Republican Party.
This is Cincinnati Edition, and Mike has a question about the McConnell race. Mike, go ahead.
The question I have is, what is the personal relationship between Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell? And would Rand Paul be sorry if Mitch McConnell lost the election?
Who wants to take that, Steve? They're pointing at each other.
Well, I'll try to start with it. You know, do I think that would it be a good idea for would Rand Paul? You know, I actually think Rand Paul would probably prefer Mitch McConnell to go away. And because for his presidential race, here's the issue. In his presidential race, I really believe that Rand Paul has moved on from the U.S. Senate and is now running for president of the United States. He has basically given us all messages of that. And I think that if he was going to make a career in the Senate, he would be much more interested in Mitch McConnell winning because he'd be interested in being the majority. But I think if he sees himself running for president, I think that actually he would actually prefer the Democrats keep the House. Keep the Senate, because if he's got something to run against for president, if they end up with both the House and the Senate, let's just say in the fall of 2014, coming into 2015, then it's a different problem for him because he's going to have to take up for a Republican House and a Republican Senate. So I think in the long run, he would probably prefer that Mitch McConnell not win re-election if it meant the Republicans got the control.
Steve?
I think Senator Paul wants Mitch McConnell to be successful in the fall. Because when it's President Rand Paul, it will be much easier to get a very conservative agenda for President Rand Paul in the through the House and the Senate.
We're quickly running out of time, but there's one more race I wanted to ask about. Northern Kentucky Congressman Tom Massey has a challenge from what we've been told is a fiscally conservative Democrat because he says Massey is not conservative enough.
Well, I mean, Thomas Massey's pretty conservative. I've yet to figure out too much that he's done for our district. So if that's the reason why this fellow's running, he's probably running for the right reasons. But, you know, it seems like Thomas Massey, I'm surprised that the Northern Kentucky Republicans allow Thomas Massey to stay there. It seems that he spends a lot of time spending on other things other than their need in Boone, Kenton, and Campbell County. And, you know, if he's going to go to Washington, D.C. and say that we should pay more in taxes by a toll, then I think that that's something that we all need to discuss.
Steve, you're going to get the final word.
Well, I think Congressman Massey's doing an excellent job representing the conservative values of the 4th Congressional District. And it's interesting that we're a Republican as strong as Thomas Massey's trying to be outfoxed and be more conservative by a Democrat.
We've been discussing Kentucky politics with Nathan Smith and attorney Steve Meggerly, and it went too quick. We'll have you back sometime. Coming up after the break, Howard and I interviewed Cincinnati Fire Chief Richard Braun yesterday, and you'll hear that conversation in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.